Thank you, Trudy, and I got to thinking while you were singing what a great, great biblical truth is. When the Lord washes our sins away, He cares as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more. And I like what the great black preacher S.M. Lockridge said years ago. When the Lord buried our sins in the sea of His forgetfulness, Jesus went back and put up a no fishing sign. Thank God our sins are washed away. Amen. Well, it's been a good morning. I'd like to ask you to join with me now as we point our hearts into the Word, to the Word, and look together at our theme for the last several weeks, and will be for the next few weeks, is Romans chapter 12. I'll give you a moment to find that. Unwrapping your spiritual gifts. I don't know how much thought you've given to the series in the recent weeks, but I know Libby and I on several occasions have found ourselves discussing we believe so-and-so may have a certain gift, or so-and-so may have exhibited a certain gift. And so I really believe the fact that the Lord gives His people, His church, the body of Christ, spiritual gifts to honor and glorify Him is a marvelous truth. We're going to look at this morning the gift of giving. Now, when you mention that in the Baptist church, many times you'll find somebody that's thinking, well, here we go again. Another message on giving. But I suspect I'd be safe in saying I probably preach less on giving than most people you know. I probably need to preach more on it, but the truth is we've got a good word this morning, a word from the Word about spiritual gifts. And Lord, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus, speak that my soul may hear. So we're going to look together at Romans chapter 12, and let's look, if you will, please, to verses 6 through 8 this morning. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, or service, let us wait on our ministering, he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or encouragement. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. The NIV has another rendering of that passage. It is giving. If it is giving, then give generously. And this morning, whatever our spiritual gift is, it is my prayer, and I'm sure it's yours as well. Lord, speak to my heart. Help me to recognize what my spiritual gift is, now that I might use it for your honor and for your glory. And you see, I love the analogy that we're one body. We're one body in Christ, and we're unique, and we're different and distinct. And yet when God brings us together, we're a body that God uses for His honor and for His glory. And so we think together this morning about spiritual gifts and the spiritual gift of giving. There are a lot of great examples of giving in the Word of God. There's Barnabas and the book of Acts. The son of consolation who's gotten known for his giving and his encouragement. In the book of Mark, we find the widow with two mites. Remember the widow with two mites? After the Pharisees and Sadducees came up through the temple and gave their large offerings, which was fine, she gave two mites, and Jesus says she's given more than all the rest of them because she gave of her all to Jesus. And then there was Matthew. Matthew, who's the tax collector, if you will, and Jesus came along and found Matthew sitting at his table collecting taxes. And Jesus simply said to Matthew, "Follow me." And then Matthew left his tax collecting tables and followed Jesus and became the writer who said more about giving than any other of the apostolic writers. So we find unwrapping your spiritual gifts is a wonderful biblical theme that I'd like for us to look at together for just a few moments this morning. The person with the gift of giving may have a lot of different attributes, and there's no one place where you and I can find these attributes listed. But as we look at those in the Scripture that appear to have the spiritual gift of giving, we can surmise several things, and I've listed for you a number of things to look for if you're praying about and considering, Lord, what could possibly be my spiritual gift? Last night, Libby and I were having supper together, And she just happened to mention, we'd just been on the phone with our oldest son, Jamie. And Libby said, you know, I really believe Jamie has the spiritual gift of giving. He and a bunch of folks have got together and planted a new church in the Winthrop, Texas area. And every morning, Jamie leads a men's prayer, every Tuesday morning, Jamie leads a prayer group. And there is a little lady at Waffle House that waits on them every Tuesday morning. And Jamie always makes sure that that lady gets a tip of at least $100. That makes you want to be a waitress, doesn't it? At Christmas, that prayer group gave that little waitress who has four children at home, there's no spouse at the house, but she works at Waffle House, they gave her $1,000 from them. And when I thought, it had never occurred to me that perhaps Jamie's got the gift of giving, and then I look at it in light of the scripture and think, Lord, that's what it's all about. And Lord, speak to my heart. And let's look at some things we might want to look at together and look for and be sensitive to concerning the attributes of somebody who might well have the spiritual gift of giving. Number one, an ability to see and a desire to meet a financial need. Now, all of us have these characteristics at some time, to some measure, to some degree. That doesn't necessarily mean that's your primary spiritual gift. But the truth is, one of the things that will be for certain, if you are a person who has the spiritual gift of giving, and the Holy Spirit has endued you with that spiritual gift, you can know that you will demonstrate the following traits. You have a desire to meet a financial need. When you see somebody struggling, there's something that moves inside of you with compassion to minister to them as best as you can. I remember my friend Junior Hill, and I use him often because he's such a great example of a godly preacher. Junior was an evangelist from Hartsville, Alabama, who will be remembered. He's gone to heaven now as probably one of the Southern Baptist greatest evangelists in our generation, in our lifetime. But I was at a conference, and Junior said God laid something on his heart years ago, and every time he could, he would put $100 bill in his wallet and have it there just for the purpose of ministering to somebody who crosses this path, somebody with a special need, somebody that the Lord touches Junior's heart with. And he said through the years, he didn't know how many $100 bills he had given out, but he was prepared when the Lord spoke to his heart to try to be a blessing to somebody else. That's what it means to have the spiritual gift of giving. You don't have to do it to that degree, but that's just an example. An ability and a desire to meet a financial need. Number two, a person with a spiritual gift of giving will have an ability to make wise investments and expenditures. Generally a saver and not a compulsive spender. Well, that makes me know that somebody that I know doesn't have the spiritual gift of giving. They focus on personal needs rather than wants. Now let me read that again. They have an ability to make wise investments and expenditures. Generally, y'all behave over there. Generally a saver, not a compulsive spender. They focus on personal needs rather than wants. I didn't really think too much about that until I got to thinking about the people that I've known through the years who seem, as I've done and studied and prepared for this series of sermons, seem to exhibit these attributes of what it means to care about people who are needy. Rather than only thinking about what this spiritual gift may look like in our lives, sometimes we lose track of wanting more and spending more and buying more and forget that God may use you to meet a need in a very special way that is in line with your spiritual gift, perhaps, of the gift of giving. Number three, what might somebody with a spiritual gift of giving look like? And I could see this quickly. A desire for their giving to be anonymous. They prefer giving to be done quietly and not call attention to themselves. I remember, and I don't believe that's my primary spiritual gift. I believe my primary spiritual gift is exhortation or encouragement. But I remember years ago at our church, Wayne, you and your family will remember you. I just drew a blank. Where's your little sweetheart this morning?
She's going to be watching the Tigers play at 12
o'clock. I'm so sorry. We'll remember today's sermon, won't we? Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. But I remember when we had a campaign, a stewardship campaign to raise money for the new building. The new building sitting over there facing Yale Road or facing Kirby Whitten right now. But I remember that the consultant for our fundraising campaign said to me, "Brother Pastor, we want you to get up and share what God's laid on your heart to give." Now, I want to tell you, I was glad to be a part of that program because as pastor, I needed to be a leader and needed to set an example. But there's something inside of me that just really balked at standing up and telling how much you're going to give. Then I realized this only because we don't want undue attention to be drawn to ourselves. And that I'm sure I think somebody with that spiritual gift probably feels that acutely. And well, it doesn't have to be your spiritual gift to be very private about what you give. They're giving as a desire to be anonymous. But anyway, I was able to confess and share the testimony of what the Lord had laid on my heart. And it was kind of interesting that about 3 years later, when the campaign was complete, we had finished giving, I was able to stand up before the congregation and say, "The Lord laid this amount on my heart 3 years ago. And God enabled me to fulfill it and pay it off on time according to God's glory and God's provision. And he gets all the honor and all the majesty and all the praise." But the focus of a person with the spiritual gift of giving is not on themselves. It's on how to magnify and honor and give glory to the Lord Jesus. Number four, I like this. A strong desire to be a significant part of the work of the kingdom. They want the work to succeed and desire a relationship with that ministry. I found a long, long time ago that God's people love to be a part of anything that honors and glorifies and magnifies the Lord Jesus. And so a person with the spiritual gift of giving might see in this ministry or in this mission an opportunity to be a part of the great work that touches and changes lives. I remember my dear friend, Frank Whitaker, one of the dearest friends I've ever had, one of my preacher buddies, who every year carries a group to Guatemala. And several years ago, he asked me to begin going with him. And I've been to Guatemala 3 or 4 times. It's been a wonderful experience. But I found myself glad to invest in a ministry that touched lives. When I went over there, we saw what it was to distribute medicine to children in needy villages or food, to share the gospel, to otherwise minister to needs. And I saw how God was using these resources to bring honor and glory to himself. It was a delight to give and give as generously as we knew how. A strong desire to be a significant part of the work of the kingdom. Number five, people with the spiritual gift of giving will most likely and often have a desire to give high quality, significant, and meaningful gifts. The gift represents them and is an expression of their love for, appreciation of, and confidence in the ministry. And that may be, for example, the Preston House that we just gave money, finances for, to support here in our church. the Annie Armstrong, excuse me, the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Things we believe in, it's a joy to participate in them. And a person with the spiritual gift of giving looks for opportunities to be a part of a ministry that God is using in a very special way. We want to know that our resources are being used to glorify Christ. I like this one. Number 6, a person with the spiritual gift of giving, many times, most often, is eager to motivate others to give. They understand the biblical principles of giving and want others to discover the joy of giving. That's closely related to what we've just now shared. Eager to motivate others to give. I hope that something I do in the Lord's kingdom, something you can do in the Lord's kingdom, can be seen by others as an opportunity to minister to others and touch lives for Christ. And I'd like to be an example for somebody to follow for the honor and the glory of the Lord. And one of the things that happens is somebody like a Barnabas comes along, and I can think about so many people through the years that I've seen these attributes demonstrated in their lives and didn't think about it then, but looking back, it seems apparent that a person with the spiritual gift of giving wants to be used to motivate others to give. I like number 7. I like these all, but I really like number 7. A strong desire to be sensitive to the Lord's leadership, especially in the area of giving. Lord, lay some soul, lay some ministry upon my heart. And Lord, if you want me to be a part of something, lay it on my heart so that I know that it's of you. A strong desire to be sensitive to the Lord's leadership, especially in the area of giving. Number 8. The person often seeks confirmation, wise counsel regarding making a gift or a meeting a need, or making a gift or meeting a need. Seeks confirmation and wise counsel. I have found that many decisions I've made along the way in ministry have been blessed to the Lord because I took time to seek wise counsel and seek the wisdom of others who've gone before me along the life journey. The person with the spiritual gift of giving often seeks confirmation or wise counsel. Number 9, the person with the spiritual gift of giving will have a contentment with what they have. They find greater joy in giving to others than spending on themselves. A contentment to contentment with what they have. You know, it's a good day when you realize stuff is never enough. You won't ever have enough stuff to make you happy. But you can invest in the kingdom causes. You can be a part of touching lives for the sake of Christ. And you can find that God blesses that with an incredible gratification and a sense of fulfillment. Then number 10, the person with the spiritual gift of giving most often will have an understanding of the value and the worth of money and look for those who are responsible with their finances. One of the keys is that the person with this spiritual gift wants to know is somebody's being a good steward of the resources that they're using. For example, many people through the years may have given to the Billy Graham Crusades. I don't know of any ministry that would be more worthy to give to and support the Billy Graham Crusade. I remember in Birmingham several years ago, Libby and I went with several people in our church to see Billy Graham. And I remember being in the bleachers, the stadium, and when he gave that famous invitation as he began to sing Just As I Am, and you saw hundreds of people, hundreds, who left their seats, made their way down to the ball field, giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. The person with the spiritual gift of giving wants to know that what they're doing is meaningful and significant and worthy of their investment, and they look for those who are responsible in their finances. Well, lastly, and there probably could be many more, for our consideration this morning, the people with the spiritual gift of giving do not respond well to high-pressure appeals. They prefer the confidence that the Lord is leading in their giving. They don't want anybody to try to strong-arm them. They need to know the opportunity to be given the freedom to make their decision as they spend time with the Lord. You know, I just put a concluding note here that I don't want us to miss. Jesus is the ultimate example of a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I don't preach on giving because our church is in financial need. Our church is blessed for the healthy finances. You give regularly, you give appropriately, you give plentifully. And I want to say thank you with all of my heart. I also want to tell you, I don't know what anybody gives. And I don't want to know. I just simply say thank you, Lord, for the gifts that God's people give. And may our giving be an overflow of having given our hearts and lives already to Jesus. You know, every Sunday we come to a time in the service where we have the opportunity to respond. Every Sunday we encourage people who may be here with a hurt or a burden or a sorrow or a care. The altar is always open. If you need somebody to pray with you about a need in your life, you just find your way to the altar and somebody will pray with you. Maybe there's somebody here that God wants to make this your church home. You need to make that decision. It would be a delight to have you a part of the Calvary family. Maybe somebody else here who just needs to give your heart to Jesus. You know what it means to be saved, but you've never given your heart to Jesus. You come today and invite him into your heart. Invite him into your life. Turn him from sin and by faith turn him to Christ. You can discover the greatest gift of all time, the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The person with the spiritual gift of giving exercises the spiritual gift in a realm of finances that touches eternity. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you give is the measure that you receive. God, make us cheerful givers. And Lord, start with me for your glory. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we? As our hearts and heads are bowed in preparation for our invitation in just a moment, would you just simply be as obedient as you know how to the Lord? And I don't know how he may be speaking to your heart, but I know that today he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can trust him today to walk with you down life's road, down life's journey, and to give you strength and grace along the way. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Trust me and try me. Master today. I pray in Jesus' name.